In our hymn book, there's a song that was written by Dr. Frank Garlock. Dr. Garlock is the father-in-law of Patch the Pirate. He is the one that started the Majesty hymn books that we have right now. He's a Majesty Music, taught at the Bible College where my wife and I went to Bible College of Bob Jones. He graduated, taught there, taught down at Pensacola for a while. Just in the period of time when I was graduating from college, Dr. Garlock was going through, I found out later, sort of a personal struggle in his own life. It doesn't matter what the struggle was. It was just a major battle that he and his family were dealing with. And he wrote a song. It's out of the Psalm 27, and it says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? And though Satan's host should rise against me, my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. And though men arise against me, my heart safely shall trust in God. The Lord keeps me safe in time of trouble. My heart shall he hide. My soul shall he hide. I dwell in the house of the Lord. I dwell in the house of the Lord. A rock shall be my hiding place. Oh, sing to the Lord with gratefulness. Sing to the Lord with grateful praises. Thanks be to our God. Thanks be to our God. Rejoice in his marvelous grace. Rejoice in his marvelous grace. Oh, sing to him forevermore." Turn to Psalm, please, if you will, number 27. This song inspired Brother Garlock to not give up this psalm. And that's what that song was written for. The Lord is the light of my life. So let's look at this psalm together for just a moment. Everybody found it? When you find it, just look up at me, please. Psalm 27. If you don't have a Bible, reach in this. On the third row chair and on each side, from each end, there's a Bible. And you should be able to have one. If you're an adult and you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home as a gift from us. We want every home to have a Bible. If I say that to the kids, they take one home every Sunday. But adults, you're more than welcome to have a copy of the Word of God. It's been a while since we stood in respect to the Word of God. Could we please do that today? Let's read together the first five verses of Psalm 27. We're going to read all together. Try to stay together. Don't rush ahead. A little pause at the commas, a little longer at the period, and just try to get your mind in this psalm. Psalm 27, verse 1. Here we go. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? With the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Lord, may you make this psalm to come alive to us today, to be a reality in the way that we live. I need your help as I preach. Help our ears to be open, our heart ready to receive. Help me to be faithful to what you want to be spoken. Nothing more than that, and surely nothing less. May you meet here with your Holy Spirit. Preserve us, Father, from distractions. And may you do a good work as only you can do in your people's heart. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The Lord is my light and my salvation. whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light. You know, light is a comforting thing, isn't it? When it's dark and somebody pulls out a flashlight, boy, you're glad for the flashlight. Somebody has a match, they light it. You're glad for that flashlight or that match. It brightens things up. You can see, you feel comfortable. Years and years ago, my wife and I went out to Kentucky with our family, and on our way up to New York, we stopped by Mammoth Caves. How many people have been in Mammoth Caves? That's a lot of fun, isn't it? You walk down and down and down and down, and they have what they call the Great or Grand Room. And in the Great Grand Room, they get you all standing there, and they say, now, in a moment, we're going to turn off the lights. And they get you in a place so you're like you got to hold of something, because it's amazing. They leave the lights off maybe a minute. It's not as long as it seems, but they leave it off. And at first, you go, oh! And then all of a sudden, that darkness just seems to reach out and grab you. And then pretty soon, inside your heart starts going, boom. I mean, and then pretty soon you're saying, okay, we can turn the lights back on. And you're so glad when the lights come back on. That it's not any different. The room didn't change, but the light makes you feel secure. Several years ago, we were in a church service. It was a rainy, blistery night. And somebody went out of control on Clay Road and hit a light pole, and all the lights went down in the auditorium. And for some reason, it took a moment for our emergency light kit to pop on. And I thought, whoa, you can't see. It is pretty pitch dark. It's dark outside. And, you know, that's the first time I realized how many people had cell phones. And out they came, and people put on their lights. And actually, we finished the service like that. It's like having a candlelight church service. But that light made us feel secure in a dark place. The Lord is our light. As we would look at Scripture, I'd like you to just keep your finger here, because our main text is Psalm 27. But turn over to Psalm 84, please. Talking about He's our light. Look at verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord is our sun and He's our shield. When the Lord's in your life and the sunshine of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing He brings into your life. That sun. I have plants that we have at our house. And when you put the plant in the room, it begins to grow towards the sun, doesn't it? It's amazing. They bend their leaves right over that way. And I turn them 1/4 of a turn about every week so that they have an even leaf coming out on all sides, because the leaves are bent to search after the sun. Do you know our hearts, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence, He is the source of all spiritual strength. He's our solar energy, amen? He is the sun. He is the light of our life. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, please. Isaiah chapter 60, look at verse 19. Speaking of the Lord being our light. Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. That sounds bad, doesn't it? No more sun, no more moon. But, this is worth underlining in your Bible, the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. And thy God, thy glory, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. The Lord is the continual light. Go over to the book of Revelation, please. Last book in the Bible. We're now entering on the scenes of heaven and eternity. And we talk about the Jerusalem and all the city at the end times. And we're in Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 22. Revelation 21, 22. Talking about the light. The Lord is our light. He's our sun. He's our shield. He's our energy. He's our uplifter. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no seed of the sun, need of the sun, neither of the moon. The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written where? Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? He said, I don't know. Well, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the day that you accepted and believed on Jesus to save your soul, God opened up the Book of Life, and I believe there in the blood of Jesus Christ, back when I was 7 years old, God would Richard Dwayne Butts, saved in Asheville, New York, accepted Christ. My name is written in the Book of Life. And look what it says here. It says in Revelation that all those that have their names written in the Book of Life will dwell in the city where there will be this light forever and ever. You won't need the sun. You won't need the moon. For Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the light. And the only ones that can enter in and out of that city are those whose names are written in the Book of Life. And there shall be nothing in that city that shall defile it. And there will be no night. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Sometimes, Christians, we get a little discouraged. Can I remind you that this light is available to you even now? If we would keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, He is your light right now. Our light is not the federal government providing a security blanket for all of us economically and socially and every other kind of thing. Our security and our light is not our wonderful family. Our security and our light is not all the money that we've gathered up in a CD or an investment somewhere, and somebody now has caused the economy to go, or my family has left, or the government's. There is no shadow of turning with this light. The Lord is my life. Go back to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. Then he says, and my salvation. My salvation. You know, salvation, we could talk about it two ways. Jesus is the way we get saved. He is my salvation. There is no one that can save except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning to say, Pastor Butts, I have no hope of where, if I were to die, where I would go to spend eternity. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has made a way to rescue your soul. Turn with me, please, to John in the New Testament, regular John, chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, might be saved. He that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world. Who is the light? Jesus. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than Jesus, rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Let me just explain that to us. Here we are condemned in the darkness of our sin. God sent his Son. And in John chapter 1 and in other places in the New Testament, it refers directly that Jesus is the light. This light has come into the world. to save us from our condemnation, the darkness of our future, of being sent to an eternal separation from God in a horrible place called hell. And Jesus Christ has put the light of hope, the light of opportunity, the door that we can go through by believing him to be the Son of God. We celebrated it last Sunday, did we not? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power to save us from our sin, our death penalty. Jesus is that light. But men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love their sin more than they love Jesus. I have gone through the way for a person how to get saved and explained it to him, and I'll say, yes, Jesus is God's son. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I need to turn from my sin. Yes, I know, and I believe if I called on him, I'd be saved. Pastor, that's what the Bible says. I believe that. Are you ready to do it? No. Why not? Well, if I do that, I'm not ready to give up my... And they name some sin in their life. Perhaps you're here this morning, and here's the light of eternity. Jesus Christ has shone again today from this pulpit. It is shining right into your heart. And the Lord says you need to be saved. What are you hanging on to that's more important than your eternal soul? But men love darkness rather than light. But they that believed, their condemnation was rolled off. Their name was written in the book of life. And they became a son of God. Let me ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you need to do that today? He is the light of my salvation. But you know, David in this passage, I think to be fair, he's not just talking about your saving of your soul. I believe he's talking to Christians as well. Do you know there are some people here this morning that maybe you're going through some pretty nasty problems in your life. I have no idea what it would be with you. David, it seemed like, was always in a turmoil as a king. And he said, my enemies surround me, and it looks like they're going to drag me down off my throne, and they would like to destroy me, assassinate me. But the Lord is my salvation. Christians, not only does Jesus save us from our sin and save our soul, but he can help us through every problem in life. He is the light that goes with us and shows us the way. And he is the one, and this idea of salvation, that protects us and carries us along. He is the light of my salvation. He is my protector. So we know the Lord Jesus Christ saves and he protects, and he's there to be with us. Let me remind you of an Old Testament story in 2 Kings. One day, Elijah was walking along, and the enemies tried to take Elijah. They wanted to capture him. One of the kings just did not like Elijah. And rumors came out that he was down near this city named Dothan. And so the Syrians gathered together, and they got around the city of Dothan, and they circled it. And here is Elijah bottled up in the city. Well, he has a servant, and the servant says, Elijah, this time we've had it. They're going to kill you. They're going to imprison you. We're done for. And Elijah said, don't worry about it. He said, what do you mean don't worry about it? There's thousands of them everywhere, and they're going to come in like a flood, and they're going to kill us. And Elijah just simply said this, God, should we show them what I see? And he said, would you open his eyes, his spiritual eyes? God said, okay. And when he opened his spiritual eyes, you know what he saw all around? Encamped around that city were angels in between the soldiers and the city, protecting them. And the next night, that army was defeated. Listen, God encamps around his people. Do you ever feel like the enemy has come in like a flood, has cut you off, and you're just in a mess? He is the light and my salvation. He can protect you from any circumstance. There's no place that God can't go. Go back to Psalm 27. You've seen two things. He's my light, my encouragement, my direction. He's my salvation. He can save my soul. He can protect me. But then it goes on, it says, and the Lord is the strength of my life. He is my strength. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his strength, there's nothing that we cannot overcome. The Bible talks about him being our strength. He is our dunamis. He is the power of God in us that can overcome anything that the devil could bring into your life. And so then the psalmist, David in this case, says this thing, the Lord is my light, he's my salvation, he is the strength of my life. Who shall I fear? Could I restate that for you? What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid of that circumstance? Who's been intimidating you? Why are you worrying so much? Why are you so overwhelmed when you have a God who is your son and your shield? When you have a God that's standing there beside you and protecting you? When you have a God that's empowering you to be able to overcome anything that the devil could pitch against you? Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at verse 2, please. When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. God can deal them in ways that you and I can't imagine. God can take what seems like an insurmountable obstacle, a force that would be destroying in your life, and God can cause it to be stumbled and fallen and have no effect in your life. This is our God. This is the God that King David claimed. God, you are my God that causes my enemies to fall and stumble. Who shall I be afraid? Look at verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me. Look at the next phrase. My heart shall not be afraid. I listen on the radio to one of the talk show hosts. And he has a little phrase that when he's talking about politics and it seems like everything is upside down, he goes, let not your heart be troubled. Be still your little heart. Well, some of the things he's talking about, we should be a little afraid of. But as a Christian, can I say to you, my heart doesn't have to be afraid. When you lose heart, Christian, you give up. What has the devil dished out in your life recently? I don't know what he's shaking on you. Maybe it's a trouble in your job. I don't know. Pastor, I don't know if I go back Monday if I got a job. Be still, my soul. God is my son. God is my strength. God is my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid, heart? Though man rise up against me, who's intimidating you? There's nothing for which we should be afraid. We need an usher to go, please. Nobody should be afraid. Let me ask you a question. Is your heart troubled right now? You need to put your eyes back on the one that is the one that's able to give you all the strength to overcome. Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, I've read that verse dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And you know, I think this time it has a brand new appreciation. Can I explain something? When I looked at verse 4, in the past, I always looked at it as David saying, I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to be with him and behold his beauty, and I want to inquire in his temple. But actually, I think what we have here is a different thing. I think we have him saying, I want to run into the Lord right now. I don't think it's so much talk about, I want to run down to Westside Baptist Church and run into that house, although that is part of it. I need, he said, my desire is to learn to run into Jesus and dwell in him. Keep your finger and turn to John chapter 15. This very much connects to this thought. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, we could go on. What is the principle? David said, what I want to do is I want to abide in the presence of the Lord. You know, Christians, one of the reasons why we become fearful, overwhelmed, discouraged, and distraught is because we're just not spending our time in the presence of the Son. We're not letting him bring the encouragement of his heart to our heart. David said, oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, not my future life. That I may learn to abide in him right now. And notice he says that I might appreciate his beauty. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all of his riches for all eternity. To learn to appreciate the fullness of all that God is and his glory and his power and his overcoming. Lord, teach me like that plant that turns itself to that sun. Lord, teach me to appreciate your beauty and the strength that you bring to me. Christian, learning to abide in the Lord like that. Maybe you're a newer Christian. You say, I don't understand. It's learning to read your Bible. It's learning to pray. It's taking the promises of God and learning to live them and claim them and make them your own. Learning to abide in the Lord. Oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord and appreciate his beauty. What a difference. Of whom shall I be afraid? Listen, the presence of Jesus in your life. When I was a young man, I can remember being afraid of different things. But if my dad was standing next to me, I wasn't afraid of anything. Now, probably my dad was just as fearful as I was in a few situations. But you know, when we cuddle up to Jesus and we abide in him, of whom shall we be afraid? Can I rephrase it? Of what shall we be afraid? What can the devil do to God? Look on in verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Notice three things there. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. You know what that word pavilion means? In his tent. A lot of times in the Old Testament, they were a little bit like Bedouins. They traveled around from place to place, picked up their house and took it with them. I'm going to dwell in God's tent. God's going to hide me in his tent. Here comes the enemy. I'm going to run into God's tent. And God will protect me. You know, Christians, in a time of trouble, do you know what I find? People skip church. In a time of temptation, they get out of the Word of God. In a time of threat, they forget to pray. We should learn to run and get inside God's tent. Get in his word. Get in his promises. Get under the preaching. Oh, he says, for in the time of trouble, I will hide in God's tent. Amen? Then he goes a little step number two. I'll hide in his tent. And he says, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Now, that word secret is sort of a mystery. We have an English term. They secreted him away. They took them right into the closeness of where they are, and they just sort of brought them. And so the secret actually, many commentators believe, refers to you come into God's very presence, and the word secret place actually is going right into the Holy of Holies, or can I rephrase it, right up next to his heart right here. Pictured in one place in Abraham's bosom. I'm going to run into God's tent, and I'm going to run up, I'm trying to be respectful, please, to God, and he's going to draw me right to his heart in a secret place. Of whom shall I be afraid? Who can touch me there? Oh, I love John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, and 29. When I get saved, I'm in Jesus' hands, and I'm in God's hands, and no man can take me out of God's hands. I can't lose my salvation. Amen. What a wonderful thing that I can run into God's tent, and I can go right into that secret place, right up close to God. And then notice it says, and he shall set me up on a rock. Boy, that speaks of stability, doesn't it? The opposite of a rock in this situation, turmoil, oh, quicksand, oh, the earth is quaking, my life is falling apart, I'm going to run into God's tent, he's going to draw me close, and he's going to put me on solid ground, and I'm not going to fear. And maybe you're here this morning, and you've been fearing man, you've been fearing circumstances, you've been fearing the future, you don't know what to do, run into God's tent, run into his presence, and let God give you a rock to stand on. Of whom shall I be afraid? Christians, we have no fear. The Bible says that when man fears the unsaved, it's an evident token of perdition. The world says, I thought your God was a rock. Why are you trembling? He's your son. He's your shield. He's your pavilion. Run into him. And Christians, we need to practice what we think we believe. Run into his presence. But oh, in the second part of this chapter, I think you find some honesty. David wasn't a very perfect man. Could we list some of his sins? Adultery, murder. And it would be easy to say, if I run into God's tent, he might kick me out. If I ask God to help me, he's not going to draw me close to his heart. If God, I run to God, he's not going to stabilize me. He's going to spank me. But you know, our God's a very loving God. And our God's our Father. And we're going to look in these next few verses. Look at verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto his name. Yeah, I wrote my notes here. He will lift my head up above mine enemies. Now, this may be more a game for those that were raised up north in snow country. I'm not sure. King on the Mountain. You ever played King on the Mountain? Whenever it would snow, at least when I was a boy, and you'd have all these snow piles piling up, big piles of snow, boys liked to get up there on top of the mountain, and the idea was to bring them down and get up there above everybody else. King on the Mountain, you know, type of thing. You played it? Okay. And everybody's job is to pull you off so they can become king. I couldn't help but think of that when David said, I ran into God's tent, ran into a secret place. God set me up on a rock, and my head was lifted up above mine enemies. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Our God will take us and pull us up above all the strife and all the problems that we have. And there we are on that rock, lifted up in our own energy because we're something good, because we're better than anybody else. No! Because God is my light. And he is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. And I would dwell in that tent forever. Isn't this a beautiful song? Oh, it's encouraged my heart this week as I've read this psalm. Look at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. That's prayer, isn't it? Verse 8. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In your problems, don't seek your best friends. Don't seek the psychiatrist. Don't seek all the human things that you could list out here. He said, when you have trouble, seek my face. What's that? His presence. Seek an audience with God. God, I need you. What is the face of God? Oh, there are a lot of ways to try to figure out what the face of God is. But I tell you what I see the face of God is, it's just that relationship of we're together. Lord, I seek your face. I seek your presence. I seek your confidence. I seek that relationship to be totally what it should be. Lord said, when you pray, seek my face. Seek my will. Seek a unity of spirit. Seek my strength. Seek my face. Oh, our old flesh has a lot of ways it would deal with the problem. Lord said, seek my face. Do it my way. Come to me. Don't do it your own way. Look back in Psalm 27, verse 9. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. Notice three things he says about not in verse 9. Hide not your face far from me. Could I ask you a question today? Is there something in your life that's causing God to have to turn his face from you right now? Hidden sin? Purposeful disobedience to God, rebellion against him. Hide not thy face from me, Lord. I learned something a long time ago. Husband and wife, I love my wife, and one of the sweetest, I don't want to get too mushy with you this morning, but a husband and wife that love each other, you can look at each other's face, you go, I love you, sweetie. I love you, Google eyes. But let one of them cheat on the other. Now try to look each other in the face. Right? You can't look. Lord, I've not been what I... Please, Lord, hide not your face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. God, I deserve your chastisement. Would you forgive me? Our God is a forgiving God. Our God loves you. His righteousness cannot have your sin. But will you confess and forsake your sin for the Lord Jesus Christ? Leave me not, nor forsake me. What a lonely place. Listen to me. What a lonely place for a Christian that knows the face of God to be in a place where they know God shouldn't be looking on them. And they're not ready to make it right. Leave me not, Lord. Leave me not. Remember Peter when he felt like he had forsaken the Lord and betrayed him and he couldn't forgive himself? Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus went out and he said, hey, Peter, do you still love me? And he worked with him. Remember that passage? And he brought him back and he brought him back. God didn't want that sin to stay there. God doesn't hold grudges. Don't hide your face. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh, that's a verse worth circling. Every once in a while, I have to counsel somebody whose parent dies when they're 4 years old, 7 years old. We had a girl in school this year, seventh grade. Her mom got 2 days' notice and she died. That broke our hearts. Amen? I'm not saying her mother forsook her, but you know, our parents leave. My mom died 20 years ago, Debbie. Doesn't seem like it. I still miss my mommy. How many of you are in the same boat? You're not going to understand until your mommy's gone. My dad's been gone 15 years. I still try to pick up the phone and call my parents. You ever do something bad happened, something good happened? Mom, Dad! Oh, they're not. And we take it in the terms of this. They've forsaken us. Because that's what their flesh is. They can't stick around. They die. Their generation is over. You say, well, why is it stuck in here? Because it says, when our family forsakes us, thou, Lord, will always be there. I read that in my office this week, and I had to go close the door. It brought a brand new reality to the permanence of my God. I feel like I'm not given half, one-tenth of what it meant to me. When your mom and your dad are gone and you have nobody else to guide you and direct you and those that you've looked to your whole life and you're cut off and you're alone, God's there. You'll never be alone. Ever in your whole life. And I went, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. My God has taken me up. He's taken up for me. And he'll never leave me. He is the light of my life. He is my salvation. And he is the strength of my life. So then he says, my new Father, teach me the way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Lord, just teach me. If you'll make my way in front of me where I should go, Lord, I'll walk in that way. Oh, we say that to God, but do we really mean it? Lord, show me. These enemies are all around. Teach me the way. Make the way for me plain, Lord. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Don't forsake me, Lord. I know I deserve it. Heavenly Father, show me. I'm trusting with you. Abba, Father, Daddy, guide me. False witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Verse 13, I had fainted. We could say this, I would have fainted. I was ready to quit. You ever been there? Just say amen. I had fainted. Ready to just throw it in the towel. Unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. God is always good all the time. Do you believe that? God is always good. In the land of the living. What a great hope to know one day I'll live forever with Jesus. Oh, this world can get nasty, can get turned upside down, but one day this world will come to an end. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to have a new body? That passage I was reading back in the book of Revelation, no night, no turbulent sea, no sickness, no disease, none of that stuff. To live with God forever. But God is good. I would have fainted. I would have quit. I would have given. I had fainted unless I believed. Christians, two things. If you haven't believed on Jesus as your Savior, you can't claim this promise. Jesus came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. That simply means he wants to be with you and strengthen you and put his hand under you, arms around you. He wants to help you through this life. He wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Secondly, I had fainted, lest I believed. Christians, we've got to walk by faith. God hasn't lost control of your life. God has a plan for your life. God knows the way through the wilderness. God's arm is strong enough. Our God is all wise, all powerful, and all present. Our God is good. I had fainted unless I had believed in the goodness of the God of the land of the living. Verse 14 puts a capstone on the whole passage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So the last verse seems like a simple little thing, but I want to amplify it just a little bit. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. What's it mean to wait on the Lord? That he'll guide you and he will direct you in your life. Well, the idea of waiting on the Lord has these thoughts to it. Look for him. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm looking for you. I'm hoping for you. I'm expecting the Lord to enter into my life. I will attend my direction toward the Lord. I will keep a close look for the Lord's hand. I will watch for what his directions are. I will wait on the Lord. I will not be impatient, for God is never late. Did you hear me? God is never late. Boy, I want everything solved way ahead of time. Wait on the Lord. God's grace will be sufficient in the moment needed. His supply will be abundant at the time of its need. God is always on time to do its full work in your life. When all other resources fail, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. One commentator said it this way: wait on the Lord, wait at his door with prayer. Wait at his feet with a bent, humbled heart of humility. Wait at his table with a willingness to serve. Wait at his window, expecting his arrival. Wait at his mouth with a yielded desire to do his will. Wait at his hand with confidence that he will not lose you. And wait in his house with a spirit of rest. Brother Austin didn't know the subject of my message, but he spoke about peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. This is what David's talking about. The Lord is my light. He is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. And after all he says, I say unto you, wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait upon him. Are you waiting upon the Lord? There's a song in your hymn book. Turn there, if you will, to 489. 489. This song talks about anxiety or worry or fear. Mrs. Butts, could you step to the piano, please? Let's sing this together. Think of the words. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, All your anxiety, leave it there. Sing it out. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. Come then at once, delay no longer, heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment, you shall find peace at the mercy. Sing it out. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy. If you'll keep that open to that page, the invitation today. Do you need to come to Jesus, first of all, for salvation? You cannot abide in the promise of Psalm 27 if you don't know Jesus. Come to Jesus today. The song says, come to the cross. Number two, come to the cross, Christian. Take all your burdens that you've been carrying around. You've been carrying around for months and weeks. Maybe you've been carrying all this week. You're just frustrated. You're filled with anxiety and stress, and you're worried, and you're not sleeping at night. Bring it to the cross. Leave it there. I had fainted lest I had believed. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is good, and that he lives and dwells in the land of the living. And he cares about you. Number three, you need to come and just leave that besetting sin. Is there something that's between your face and God's? So, Pastor, I would come to God, but why would he look at me? Pastor, I'm just wrong with God. He still loves you. You need to come and just get right with God. And then look in his face. It's no different than a husband and wife having a fight. And when you get it all made up, what a wonderful hug it is to be restored. You know what I'm talking about. Mom and dad have been so upset, but it's all settled. And the will's broken and you're straightened out. And now you're ready to go. And peace is back. Get that sin out. Quit feeling separated from God, Christian. Come to Jesus if you're a sinner. Come to Jesus if you're carrying a burden. Come to Jesus if there's some sin that's come between your face and his. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing all those three verses again. Our heads are up, our eyes are looking. I encourage you, this altar is a place to come to Jesus. You come, please.